Any apologies? Any apologies for the board? No? Okay, item two, declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest? I just wanted to clear, I think it's on item, yes, item five, on the Port Kelly Formal Barracks site, I said in the vote, it's here on the River Development Group, Port Kelly, so it's there in interest on item five. So what are the declarations of interest?
Chair, the four members, one has shows.
Sir?
That's all my interest.
Then, Councillor Allen. Okay, moving on to item three, which is the action sheet. On the action sheet there, we've got pages 1, 2, 3, and 4. Any issues from the action sheet, questions? Everybody happy on? Okay, can I get a proposal? Was Councillor Boyce to thank? The action sheet? Councillor Harvey. Okay, we go straight into, we've got a joint presentation by Yvonne Brown, Tourism NI, on the Tourism Market Plan 2018. And I'm going to take table number 7 after the presentation. We'll have a question and answer session after the presentation, and then we go on to table 7, which is linked to that Tourism Market Plan. And sitting at that table, we have Naomi Waite from Tourism NI, Mike Donovan, and Michael O'Leary from Yvonne Brown. So I'm going to hand over to Yvonne Brown for the presentation.
Great, thank you very much. Well, first things first, it's great to be down here once again. I think it was last summer when we were down here speaking to you guys about this culture activity. So it's been a good piece of work today. But essentially, what we are down here to talk to you about today really is about opportunity and opportunity for the region from a tourism perspective. And Naomi will take you through some of the work that the guys in team and I have been doing to understand how we can unlock the tourism potential from the Republic of Ireland for Northern Ireland in general as a market. And what Michael will take you through will be how we can unlock that opportunity for Newry, Moreland Down for the region. We'll take you through some of our from a campaign thing, some creatives that will hopefully inspire you guys. So So Naomi will talk about really how we've been unlocking the ROI market potential for NI tourism from the work that they have been doing, and then how we can grasp the tourism opportunity for the region itself. So we're more than happy to take any questions that we have and that they might have after that. So I will pass you over to Naomi.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks once again for the opportunity to join you today. First of all, just a very quick background. The ROI Task Force report was commissioned by an independent task force who were brought together as a result of a long-term decline in the number of holiday visitors going up from the Republic of Ireland, a 29% decline in holiday trips from 2012 to 2015. However, it is also a market that represents huge untapped potential and opportunity. The task force strategy also recognised that only 3% of holiday trips and 4% of value was what Northern Ireland was achieving. Why should we go for growth in this market now? There is current momentum. The NISR stats for 2017 show the Northern Ireland level. Holiday trips for the first three quarters of 2017 are up 57%. It is always easier and better to build on momentum than going from a time basis. This market also offers opportunity for regional dispersal opportunities right across Northern Ireland. There is real latent potential. Two-thirds of consumers are also interested in taking a break in Northern Ireland. It also allows us to offer out-of-season opportunities as well. These visitors are more open to travelling throughout the year. And as the market reach, it is a cost-effective market to reach. And also in terms of there's 2,000 approximately hotel rooms coming on stream over the next few years, and therefore there's a need for additional opportunity. The task force document and strategy recognised that market in itself could provide £140 million business to Northern Ireland by 2025. As part of that, in terms of aligning our own work in line with the strategy, this task force strategy outlined some new consumer market segments and gave us very strong indicators as to what we needed to do. We've taken on board those lessons as part of our own marketing campaigns, and our return of investment from our independent market evaluation of those campaigns indicates a £69 to 1 return of investment. So there is real business to be done in this market. These are just some of the digital examples that you can see from the campaign. Another element of the strategy recognised the fact that the Northern Ireland tourism industry as a whole were not actively promoting in the market to the same level as our counterparts in the RLI industry were. So Northern Ireland industry advertising represented just 0.5% of all of the activities in the market. Therefore, one of the recommendations in the strategy was we should encourage and enable our Northern Ireland industry to promote. So we have set up a cooperative marketing programme, and this is one example of where Destination has brought together its industry, so both its accommodation providers and its attractions, to work together. That was in campaign, but it applies also to Always On. We also, taking the Fermanagh example just further, as just one example, worked with them on social media and partnership around search, for example, as well, and PR. So when we did that and we worked together, there are a lot of stats on this page, but I suppose the most critical one from your perspective is a 21.63% in clicks on book buy buttons. So that demonstrates, I think, there's real business to be had, and when you employ the strategy in this market and we work in partnership and collaboration, we can leverage that business. So I'd like to hand you over to Michael now and what it means for your region.
Thanks, Naomi. Very pleased to be here to talk to you all. I've been working with Andy for the past few months and his team, and talking to a lot of tourism providers, and we want to look at what the best way is to market the region, to grab the opportunity that Naomi has outlined, which is obviously an excellent opportunity. First of all, we've got a fantastic story to tell in this region. You know, as from a marketing perspective, an advertising perspective, you couldn't ask for much more. So we want to start with the best assets that we have. We've been working around with four kind of cluster groups. I'm talking about the Moors, which is obviously, I know the strategy we've done over the past few years has led to an idea of the Moors being an outdoor capital for Ireland. So, you know, it is a place where the outdoor adventurer and even the novice can have a hugely entertaining and invigorating experience. So the Moors is one key aspect, obviously. We have the Game of Thrones that is growing exponentially. We have the experience in Sandford at Winterfell and Castle Ward, which is the original Game of Thrones experience. That's where the whole thing started. So they have an absolutely great claim to originality and authenticity. So there's a fantastic story there, a huge worldwide market, and a very, very strong market within the Republic of Ireland as well. The key thing about that, to some degree, the outdoor experience was tourists these days are looking for an experience, not a passive experience. They're looking to get involved and to be able to engage and find things really unusual and different to do. So the Game of Thrones experience at Strangford really demonstrates that. We have Dairn Na Dullion, and we've been out talking to a cluster group there. And the Footsteps in the Forest, obviously, the great event last year, and it really was helped and inspired by a social media campaign. So that's really kind of been the benchmark for some of the stuff we've been doing. But the Dublin is an unexplored region, and it's a beautiful spot again. It's a real privilege to be able to start marketing these places in ways that really make sense to the contemporary consumer. And lastly, is of course St. Patrick's Country, and I put in a photo of the reenactment here because I think this is indicative of what the tourists these days are looking for. You know, it's an experience, it's something that's different. It's not just walking through a landscape, but it's meeting people. It's getting some theatrical performance and really feeling that they're coming to something that's unique and different. So these are the kind of things that we've been talking about, and great work has been done already. We read through the strategy that you've done. And really sets out a very visionary and aspirational approach to for the region, which is fantastic. And I also looked at the experience development plan, and I was out talking to four regions, out with the Gullion cluster, and out with St. Patrick and Stratford and the Moors. And it was fantastic to be able to sit down and talk with local businesses and really work in partnership with them. As an advertising and marketing agency, we don't often get the opportunity to go and talk to people whose businesses absolutely count like that. And they're actually able to feed into what we're doing, we're able to help them with what they're doing. So it's real on the ground partnership, and that's been fantastic. And I think for some of them, they're at different stages. I mean, the idea is stuff is coming out from the clusters for Gullion, everything is great. And to be able to move these things forward at a pace is a great opportunity. I won't, Naomi's already gone through this, so I won't go through this anymore, but of course there is a latent opportunity in the public environment that we really want to target in 2018. And there's a window of opportunity throughout Northern Ireland generally. Again, there's some stats, you can all read the stats to your heart's content and see we really want to be part of this growth in this region. So here's how we kind of propose to build on it. We want to create a campaign for the region that allows its strengths to shine, and also that elevates it. I mean, this is a very competitive market as well, so every time somebody goes online to try and find where they might go for the short break or the holiday, there's a lot of competition out there, so we have to make sure this region is competing at that level and is able to show itself off in a way that makes people, you know, aspire to come and see what it's all about. So I'm going to play you a short video now. That hopefully will give you a little bit more insight into our kind of a vision for the marketing campaign. From that, there's a tremendous opportunity here to appeal to tourists who want something a little bit different. They might be independent travellers, might be families, but the people come looking for slightly different things all the time. You have the incredible rush of all the outdoor pursuits that are offered, you know, the mountain biking, the climbing, the running, all the superb events that happen in the moors and beyond all through the year. But also you have this sense of hush, as well as the adrenaline fueled activities, you have this sense of peace and the superb scenery and fantastic moments, whether it's having your lunch or sitting looking over the sea or the Silent Valley. You have this sense of two things going on at once. So we try to appeal to that market. And beyond that, we want to create audience-specific messages that inspire visitors to come and help them plan their experience. So you'd be told these days in digital marketing that it's very much at the dreaming stage that people make their decisions. So we really want to inspire them to come and see what's going on. So we're pushing out messages that are to do specifically, you know, whether it's mountain biking, we'll be targeting people that we know are interested in mountain biking. We'll be making the most of the assets that are out in West Trevor and other places. We'll be pushing out messages, you know, such as the moorings, the climbing, the superb and kind of undiscovered epic. And epic experiences are, of course, part of the whole strategy, so we really want to get that idea of these epic experiences across. We'll be looking at the likes of Warren Point, maybe more, you know, quieter, more the hush rather than the rush, where we get people get a feeling they can come up and kind of renew themselves, get a real rest. Or looking at Gullion as well, where people can find all sorts of ancient history and just get away. So we're putting those messages out to specific audiences that we think will respond well. And we're pushing out a dynamic and powerful digital channel that will reach audiences. This is through search and social. So really, most of people's planning is on digital. They're on mobile all the time, looking at things. They're looking at Instagram posts. They're looking at images. They're wondering where they're going to go. They're wondering what to make their next big Instagram moment for themselves. So we really want to push messages out on digital channels, bring them back to a website, and get them to know more and more about what the region offers. And then from that, they can go on to booking. So you can see in mind, that's, for instance, what happens with the Facebook carousel, where we can put out lots and lots of messages in the same Facebook post. But it's very important that these images are up to scratch, that they're epic. But they have to compete against a lot of imagery from all over the world and all over Ireland. So we'll be really trying to create messages that people respond to. We'll bring them back into the website and give them more, and hopefully lead to those bookable experiences that Naomi talked about, for instance, in Fermanagh so much. So we've now the time to grasp the opportunity on our doorstep. I mean, we need to push on to create a digital presence that is superb, that really elevates the region to where it needs to be. And we need to start working through these channels that everybody is using to make sure that Newry Moore and Down receives the number of visitors that it deserves. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Michael. Naomi and Mike, and just before I open up to floor for comments, I just want to congratulate everyone involved in the video. I think the video was absolutely stunning. And there's times when you live in the middle of it, and you step back and see images like that there, this whole while we're talking about, going to that place and actually be in the middle of it. So like the aerial views of God in the lake on top, and that's a stunning picture. Picture tells a thousand words, or speaks a thousand words of bonds. So everyone that's involved in that, I think it's absolutely excellent. I go to the floor for comments and questions to Jared.
Well, thanks, Jared. So you're right, the video was spectacular, no doubt about it. And everybody wants to believe that their area is the area where you want to see the visitor come and spend their money, whatever it might be. If there's any criticism, and maybe not all that critical of it, the same with, as you mentioned, for accommodation, I know that's a wider view. Can I quote one of the best hotels in the north? So we're going to mention there's a tag in for Canal Corp. I don't work there, and I'm not related to anybody that owns it, but I still think it's a top quality primary hotel. I'll go there as well, in fact. They've got paper. No, but I mean, a top guest, I know there's collective members here, the of course, our executive top team there to highlight what they think of the aspects that we have in this district, and make it a point of getting on your presentation there. So I wish you well with it, and we want to see the visitors come. Thanks, Jeff.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. And thank you all for your hard work and your presentations. Good to see them. It's all been going well. One big question, maybe two for Naomi. Your 29% decline this past few years, has that started to turn around now? Because you did say later on that there's a 21% increase in check tickets, so has it turned around?
Absolutely. I think referring to the NOTA stats for 2017 show that holiday trips are actually up 57% year on year for the first three quarters. So absolutely, we've had good forward momentum. We'd be keen to build on that.
Thank you.
Sorry, Gareth. Just very briefly, I observed your video that got there. I did highlight where you go to stay and then the offices to visit. But I noticed that lately you did highlight the areas which, unfortunately, I haven't visited myself at the main pavilion. But I come from the Van Patrick area that got there, and the man tells you last week, so it's obviously good to see. And we have then a lot of things in the practical placing, which is interesting, horse placing, so we have, and we have car racing, so we have. And to do an interview and just to say that, and just the very impressed of himself, whatever. But I just noticed that all that you mentioned is very briefly, and there's a lot of things there to be could be added in there to make the place more attractive. Unfortunately, we haven't got a hotel, but there's many hotels we'd like to have, but we're on that. We have a hope to have that, so very shortly.
Yeah, can I just totally take your point, and that was very interesting. I went down with Andy and Michelle to talk to the Van Patrick Cluster, which is a fantastic cluster of people, and they kind of made the decision that they wanted to work on this idea of a festival related to the horse racing, which I, we worked very hard with them to develop that, and we worked on a video for that and everything. I think it's a great idea. And they were saying, look, we need to really excite everybody about what the potential is in that. So although it doesn't appear there, actually there's a separate video that's all about Dan Patrick, so maybe that available to you, Councillor Kern, and it might help allay some of the concerns you have. But I think the St. Patrick's thing is an essential one. It's a difficult one, I think, at the moment, because you can't book in many experiences, so I think that's difficult. It's something I'd love to see. I'm very close to Ben Patrick and the whole region out there, and I would love to see that happen more. It might take a little time, but we haven't got our eye off it, if I can reassure you that way.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Alan. Okay, I'd like to just thank you again for the video, and I'm looking forward to people actually seeing it in the public and seeing the visitor numbers go up. Thanks very much for the presentation. Okay, we're going to move on to item 7, which, as I said at the start, is linked to the tourism marketing plan. And we have Andy, are you taking this one?
Yes. Thanks, Chair. I suppose the marketing plan, paper 7, agenda item 7, goes along with the presentation number 15. There's a fair bit of detail in the actual marketing plan itself, but I suppose a couple of main things to point out. At its core, this strategy, there's a few objectives, but two of the main objectives is to grow football from tourism into this region, and the second one being to help sustain the growth of tourism hospitality businesses as a result of that football. So we've developed this strategy very much, as Michael was saying there, very much in partnership with tourism businesses. Through clusters that we've set up, and there's over 40 businesses involved in the process of that strategy. One of the proposals of the marketing plan would be looking at a partnership marketing program with tourism businesses. So we'd look at opportunities to fund marketing activity through financial assistance program for tourism businesses. So we'd work out all the detail of that, and just try and coordinate, I suppose, the marketing activity of tourism businesses to come alongside us to work with us to develop this plan. So that's the fair bit of detail there, Chair, but that's in essence the paper.
Thanks, Andy. Any questions or comments? Thoughts? Yep. All those, Mickey. Can I get a second one? Second. Jerry. Okay, moving on. We're moving back to the item number 5, which is the Fork Hill Farmer Barracks site. John.
Jerry, I have the report there. As you know, we actually have been working with the Local Development Association there and the Department of Communities on the regeneration of the site, Jerry. We have been exploring with DFC the prospect of potentially taking the remainder of the site, and there's now been an expression of interest from another two government departments, Chairman, in terms of acquiring the site for some infrastructure work in terms of pathway upgrade, but also housing. Chairman, with the recommendations that we continue to work with the departments and with local communities, Chairman, just to explore in terms of master plan the best use of the site, and move it forward in a way that meets the needs of all of the various commands currently out there. We haven't anything substantive to report at this stage, but rather the safety council approval to continue down that route.
Thanks, John. Any other proposal? Any comments?
Willie, sorry.
Second. Charles, I have. Okay, moving on to item 6, DFC year-end honours round again, John.
Yes, Chairman. This is taking approval for the council to make an application, Chairman, for a small amount of money, £15,000, to be spent through the year, Chairman, for some minor upgrade works in the current financial year, and also taking approval, Chairman, from the council to work up some of their short term call off lists for the other urban centres, potentially dealing with underspend in 18-19 term. We are still working with the department around, you know, the funding for the larger revitalization schemes and the public realm, but you know, that's a different matter. We have back to our strategic budgets within the department, and we're hoping to resolve that soon, Chairman.
So, what the Uri bid, so that ties it right into Uri.
Yeah, so these are our small, very small piece of work that the theory bit had close to the department of right. Turn directly on there or part of them themselves from the newly bid project, Chairman. But what we're saying is that, you know, we will look at other small similar schemes that could potentially be rolled out in other urban centres like Kilkenny, Parkton, Patrick, Ballinhinch for the 18-19 financial year, where we may be able to pick up other small easily implemented schemes, Chairman.
But are they totally, you know, centred around, you know, just towns, villages,
the
community element?
So, Chairman, from this perspective, it would be town centred. Thank you, Chair. Chair, no, Chair, it's just on the flower industry and all the job of tourism, like, under the old council, like, way back over the years, being invested in flowerless ways and that, and particularly in Cross McLennan, won the Ulster Bloom competition. But just this number of years, this council has cut that out. Like, and we do the great talk about tourism, but Cross McLennan is an area where we get a number of visitors into the area, where busloads come in from all different counties in Ireland, and maybe people that have never been across McLennan. But we used to have the community centre in Cross McLennan, beautiful decorator with flowers to the front, where we had the display of flowers on the square. But under the council here, that has completely disappeared, and it's an empty town. We have great presentations, so we're spending great money on tourism, but we're not talking the talk. If people comes in the park on the square across, and then people that's never been in it, and like, we beautiful community centre, hub and everything else. And I say the way we used to decorate it and look after the square and that, like, it's just gone be the way of things. So what impression do they leave us? You know, it's all right, but we need to be doing more of this, and we need to be doing it in like all the towns of it, but particularly across the line where the visitors are coming into, and we need to leave them with an impression of the area. But the fact I actually think that, like, even though we're spending great money on presentations and we are doing great work in there, we did the same in Craigan, the most visited village of all, about the series that they did on that. Like, we pulled the money from the community groups that was doing that was putting up the flower baskets and that. Like, so we're doing good work on one hand, but we're undoing it on another. We need to get a balance here. But this sort of money needs to be invested in these areas, and it's just not happening.
Thanks, Terry. And just on that point, just for clarification on the recommendations, Terry said, a list of a longer term understand list to be drawn up for urban centres. Is that just solely, you know, hearing about particles we're talking about? Town centres across the territory. So,
generally, for the town centres that the AFC have responsibility for, so it would be Yuri and Patrick, the Kid, Newcastle, Warren Point, and Ballinhinch. The other towns and villages would be dealt with through the village council, and that's what it's in train of. So, when you're saying that where DFC are responsibility for that, where is it this that go across that it has to be solely that list for this understanding? Terry, I agree with your sentiment in the comments across the den, but if we're looking at this list, and that's where he's asking clarification. If this is an understanding DFC that's coming, and they're only responsible for certain areas, and we can't divert that, like, I, like yourself, would be diverted across the den, as much as yourself.
Yeah.
If we can't simply divert that, at least, you know, not to comment going forward with a bit of renewal.
Well, we have been doing this, like, it's not something that, it's something when we put into the new council that they've come up. It's all nearly more difficult. We've always come this, and always had problems, and we're actually surprised as far for it to really help.
We'll turn it up. The points raised by Councillor Harry, we can take those back. They're not something that our department's responsibility for. We can look at that with what background went through the development department.
Chair, just on that, I agree pretty much with Councillor Harry on this. And quite often, to concentrate all the money in the area, I don't think about it first. So, just the Chamber of Commerce has asked to be drawn for some considerable time. and we've pretty much got nothing, so I haven't. So, Mr. Hardy is actually up the meal and put it on the head. Newcastle getting quite awfully a couple of competitions as well, but if you don't spread the money around, you've got to help the little whole area, I know. And the new fire company has succeeded in attracting a number of tour companies from Dublin there recently to bring tours actually up to the Mourns, possibly JJ and Newcastle and that area. I think they're going to have to spend a wee bit of money making the area a wee bit more attractive. I do also think that we need to spend money on other places over in Newry. Newry gets everything. Very strong.
Thanks, Ben. I suppose the big money is under spent for 15,000, small amount of money, but I'm sure what's coming from the people in the councils of Gloria is that any future list will be accurate across the towns that they are seeing responsibility for. I'm sure that's the case,
yes, John.
Yes, John, that'll be the idea to work projects up across the mall.
John was saying in the village, unless you're going to get a look with a realtor in terms of consistency, you know, if we're going to try and, you know, improve on the route of the area where we're on, or the most important area, I think we're going to have to take sort of a quite holistic view to it all in terms of really going forward on what council actually are going to understand or what interest themselves. You get a lot of initiatives, you know, the authorities, but they're mostly delivered by locals, you know, who are happy to be interested in that. So if obviously falls back or days or whatever it is, that interest stays with that in a sense. So, you know, I do think we need to pinpoint directly through our village plans. The village plans aren't going to deliver long term consistently. It has to come out by us from the council and really incorporate that into our whole tourism strategy. You know, that's part of the tourism strategy spend. Because, you know, if we were, you know, entering, you know, the long term, you know, for a while, it was an international European competition. And that's what you need to be doing, because that gets you millions of pounds worth of publicity that you couldn't actually pay for it. So, like, we do really need to concentrate on that and realize exactly where we're going with it. It's just not solely that opportunity to deliver, because, you know, it's a marketing tool in this council, you know, to put money into those small villages, small towns,
I think. At the same point, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, the points are relevant points, but this is a paper on the understrength of DFC, and if it's only across areas of towns, all the towns DFC are responsible for, we can't be talking about developing that to smaller areas, as much as that's a totally different discussion. But yeah, so relevant points.
I was going to say, you know, we'll have to sort of deal with the issue at hand, and that's the part that the communities are dealing with urban areas. It doesn't take away from the other members are saying in regards to, you know, living in the hands in the smaller villages and towns. Probably through the village plan is the best place to do that. If that's a real a requirement for the villages, then that should happen. And through the rural development fund, that funding should be available. The other debate about estates and putting budgets in place, that is for another committee to look at, and so we'll just set the rate. There's a lot of villages throughout the whole district, and if you start increasing that spend, it'd be a considerable amount of money. But the more you can do with the community groups and the voluntary sector, the better, through voluntary contributions, and that, you know, there is ways to get money, additional money. It's just to ask the question, how can you take a project forward? Is it going to be through engagements with the DEA, or is it through the engagement with Chambers of Commerce? How can you flesh out an idea and then bring forward a proposal? Because you obviously need these shovels ready to go when there's a bit of extra income from the Department of Communities. You need to be in place to deliver.
The main avenue would be through the Chamber of Commerce, and we'll bring them back through the DEA as well, Chairman, but like the village plans process that has been used as well, Chairman, so it would be an accurate for both, but the initial point of contact probably would be the Chambers in each of the town centres.
It's just
on
the point
that Ken
makes and the initial key.
Okay.
A number of ideas that they would like to see initial spend, then they have gone forward now, so you have them, John.
Robert.
Sure, I agree with what our speaker has already said. But there's also Bill Hinch and Simply. Simply won many, many, many prizes through Simply the Bloom. And so did Bill Hinch. And then the old council. These bodies have actually got supported. So what's went wrong with this new council?
Because if Terry tells me that nearly more has dropped away from it too, where have we went wrong?
I think that answer checkable.
John, the issue of funding for floral displays in towns and in various areas, so maybe that's not within this department's realm of channel. What we've said is we'll pass it on and report it back to the relevant committee channel and pick up from their channel.
Is
the committee here to have tourism? I think, to be fair, on this paper, what's in front of us is the approval letter of offer for 15,000, and that's the DFC for what they're responsible, the areas that they're responsible for. We could talk for an hour on the villages, but that's not on the remit of DFC. So the proposal
and
second for DFC, and that any paper walked off to this will be accurate across them all the areas. Okay, moving on to, we already dealt with item 7 of the presentation, so moving on to item 8, which is the attendance to our American convention. And this is Alex.
Thanks, Chair. This paper sets out the proposal for an officer to attend two trade shows this year connected with golf. It's just to point out, Chair, the attendance at these trade shows over the past 2 years has directly resulted in over 400 venues into the region. So golf is a very important offering for the district. And most of those bed nights, we're looking at analysis of that, but most of them will be North American and long-haul destinations, which tend to have a higher spend once they're here in the district. So the proposal is to attend these golf individual skiing, and it's seen as a good return investment for the district.
Proposed, Council Island?
Second.
Council Idea. And it's great to see one council officer going into these. It's something to get questions back saying, what can you show tangible, can you show for us? And to sell, I think it's down here as the PNC packages go forward and then some of the areas up there for it. So at least we can measure it directly. So we've got a proposal in second. Moving on to, sorry, Michael, sorry.
Just to say that I think one day last year, I got the page from the chair of council and went down and welcomed the group into our Glass Golf Club, and it certainly was very impressive, and the itinerary for the week across the north was very good. But I do think that maybe we have all the good golf clubs within the district, and we've got to make sure they're not neglected, and it could be pushed a wee bit. I know some work is going on and contacting the neighborhood clubs, but I do think that we need to give them a wee bit of impetus that might be to attract overseas corporates and become part of the tour. You know, if it happens then, even one extra game in our district can make a big difference to the revenue within your involvement.
Okay, moving on to item 9. The PSLA is agreements for 2018-19.
Yep, Chair, the paper sets out the SLAs for Department for the 18-19 financial year. All projects that are listed have got previous approval, and attachment tendencies are the tourism SLAs that we're bringing close to agreement at the moment. I suppose just to point out that there's been some queries raised as regards to the amounts for the SLAs, and it's just to say and state categorically that we're not cutting any of the funding to any of those groups that are listed. So it's going to remain the same as last year, and we'll just go back and make sure that that's the case, that those figures are the same, and those groups will retain that level of funding as of this financial year. So the details are set out in the paper, Chair.
Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, just on that, I mean, can we then, can we correct the figures, or at least could we put a preamble into it that see the figure on entirely correct? If they're approved, the payments or the proposals proposed are approved, then that would be shown, the correct figure would be shown. Just so that I don't know.
We can
we can put that into the. We can put that into the proposal that all the funding will be the same as this financial year, and all figures will be always informed as such.
Okay.
Can
I just query one here? Exactly. I understood the 113,000, but just the 125,000 in the old house. So how about the down to 110?
It's the case that with 115 last, in the 17-18 financial year, and it'll remain at 115 in next financial year. Robert, that's the, so we're not funded between this current financial year and the next financial year to any of the groups that's listed there.
But it's only 110 this year.
No, it, sorry, that is supposed to be 150, so there's no change.
I'm just double-checking.
We'll put that in the decision required. If not, it will be cut to any of the groups for next financial year.
But you definitely get 150 this year.
that's correct. We'll amend that for the council meeting.
Circle check and roll.
Yes, Chair. With the whole cost of living and inflation, all of those things, should this not be keeping pace with that? We're keeping pace with the rates. We're asking these groups to perform to the same level. We're trying to promote tourism on the money that we had last year. It does really seem fair and balanced. Also, when we're getting a list of figures like this, could we have it for the previous 2 years of everything so that we can make some kind of a comparison clearly? You know, what were the Santa's getting last year? What were they getting the year before? So we can see, is it up, is it down? Also, the list, any groups that have lost an SLA or any groups that have gained an SLA. I would like to see that all laid out very clearly in front of us. What we have in front of us today isn't really worth a bit of not seeing how it's totally inaccurate.
Andy? I would say, Chair, that the list of groups there that are in that list are the same list we haven't added to or taken away from that list. That's the groups that have received funding in the 17-18 financial year. We can provide details in terms of what that has looked like historically over the last two financial years. And then the other thing is that we would work closely with these groups throughout the year to determine sort of level of funding required, what they're going to need, what, you know, targets, realistic targets that can be achieved for those SLAs, ensuring value for money. So it's very much a partnership approach working with those groups. So, you know, that there isn't any surprises in terms of levels of funding or targets that are trying to be achieved.
Thanks, Andy. And just for clarity, Brian, and one of the points that you made, of the 15 groups there, is it this ask Sam the only one that there's a stable change in the figure of the rest of the record?
That's correct, Chair, yeah.
Brian?
Thank you, Chair. I know that our council is working very closely with these groups and determining what ones are required and what groups would pay them a wee bit too much. But for those groups, it's us as councillors that they come to. So we need this information before us.
Thank you, Brian, for that.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, again, the phone was sort of hot over the weekend. People were, other political representatives were phoning in regards to the cut. They were saying it was a reduction from 120,000. So there is a disparity in the figures there. You know, they're saying it's been reduced from 120 to 115,000. 120,000. But what I'm saying is there seems to be some disparity there in regards to the Somatic Centre. There's been difficulties with the Somatic Centre for a number of years in funding, and I think there is a streamlining of the funding now and about outcomes based. You know, there's a certain amount of outcomes that have to be delivered for that increase in visitor numbers. the quality accreditation and other issues like that. You know, so there's, I think it's a good partnership arrangement between the council and the Sephardic Centre. But with alignment placing on the point that's made, it is a cut, even if it stays the same. You know, so, but I suppose we have to cut a draw also. There's austerity coming from the Tories, and that'll continue to come, and it'll continue to bite on our council and how we fund, and also how we work with organisations and deliver outcomes for different organisations. So it's not going to go away. You know, there's going to be a considerable constraints in regards to local authorities then, particularly next year. So I think it's important to keep it the same. There should be no reduction in it, because at the Scottish Centre, I'm aware that they put a disabled ramp in. They've done extra work in regards to upgrading the visitor experience, interpretation. I think it's put 20,000 into that. You know, so they are bringing in extra money themselves. But it's important that we keep that funding where it is now at present. Just in regards to the SLAs, maybe you just want to see what was, you know, the previous funding. And as Brian says, in regards to SLAs that maybe we no longer have, maybe to have them made available as well. And bring a look across the DEA, you know, so we can see where the spend is.
Just before you mean Andy, Robert, do you want to add
I noticed some National Trust doing their name there. What is that actually covering on there? Where is that going on? Is that all over the National Trust property in our area? Or is that one?
That main site is predominantly based around the Warnock Nature Reserve, and in terms of the services provided there, but it's helped in terms of beast management, gene management, all that type of thing. But the details is in the details in the actual itself, just in terms of services provided by the trust. And just on the point with regards to the funding, it's the case that we're not coming between financial years, but what we're trying to do is work with these groups, I suppose. We're trying to drive visitor football into the district, and we're trying to, I suppose, for us all to bring a level of sustainability in terms of funding. So looking at the raising standards and attracting more visitors in. So I suppose a lot of the attractions or groups can be commercially sustainable in terms of the income level of visitors and the income level of visitors training. So that'll be high up in our agenda when we're working with these groups, and that's particularly around our visitor experience plans. So I suppose at that stage in the future we could look at reducing funding to the groups, but then, you know, that would be a very that's still a time off that conversation. So just to clarify, no funding cuts to those groups.
And Andy, just before I take action then on the point that both Willie and Brian are bringing up, the going forward with comparative figures from last year or something, do you remember?
In terms of the
as it is what we got last year, so it's easier to make a
decision whether it's we can do that and get those figures alongside what we're proposing to do for the next financial year.
Exactly.
Yes, just so sorry you did raise the National Trust on a strike off a thought in the head there, that I did read some of our National Trust, I think we're kind of trying to prevent people going striking in that area. You know, so when you look into this here, you know, I mean, on the first read of it, I thought it was a negative. It's going to have a negative effect on financial tourism that they were going to, I'm sure they have, but they made a reason for doing it. But the fact that we're going to be given £9,000, I think we should at least go and ask, you know, what prohibitions are they starting to put in the area. You know, but if we're given £9,000, we're actually going to lose a potential tourism offer. You know, I think we need to investigate before we get to the
I think, Chair, come back then on that. We're meeting with the trust later this week to look at that very point, just to see how we can, I suppose, maintain the service or the acceptability to our coastline from what we consider an important group. It's one of those things, I suppose, it's the access to the outdoor and the countryside and the coastline that attracts visitors to this region. So we'll be meeting with the trust, and we have been working with the trust to see how that can be maintained.
Thanks, Andy. Okay, we got the post and second, of course. Paul's report on the council orders.
I'm afraid it's in common, but
yes. No, that's the thing. We wanted to provide the figures, there's no cost, I think that's there. And the second was down for the same. Okay, moving on. We've a number of items for noting, and just in case anyone has break on them, we're going to turn them one by one and impose a tagging of them. So, item 10 is the set on an outdoor recreation plan to get proposed on Council Hierarchy. Second. There's an appendix of three documents, very extensive documents on the recreation plan. Can I get a second of them? That's okay. Item 11, an update on the Fox Valley business in Scarborough. Proposal. We're open. Councillor Collins and Councillor McAteer. If anybody wants to make a brief comment, they'll take a brief comment on them. But just one open door. Item 12, the Wildland Park Steering Group. Proposed and second. Proposed. Councillor McAteer and second. Councillor Jaffe. Do you want to make a brief comment? Just call your name when we get the details. Item 14, the Tourism Events Funding Column. Just one open.
Yeah. Well, again, we've got a set of jumbled up figures here, our figures. You know, and these are, this was a source of great debate in front of the council. And now we have basically low figure data meetings that we could propose the second day today. We could be doing some great tourism events funding out of only for all we know it, and we have agreed to that door. I do think we should be given the courtesy of having these names of the organisation and what they're getting in front of us. We can hold it in committee if we so wish, but again, I just don't think it's a good way of doing things. What has failed and what hasn't failed. So we're asked to also just take that away and come back with names.
I think around this broadcast, which this process is still ongoing, and I have a number of questions myself, but I suppose the next meeting of the ERP is where we want to get the information on that, because this has come through the programs unit, and it's at the next meeting of the ERP that we're going to have the names and the outcome of that, where we can open the debate. But for noting that the process is still ongoing, and we don't want to be the advocate of that, I think it's the next ERP meeting that will be discussed.
Well, it's very clear that people have failed to get something, right? So we may not be happy with that, but happy with the situation. I know I'll be told yes, the appeals process and all, but you know, I don't think if we're interested in tourism, we're not interested in the field of any work necessarily. We want to see success, you know, especially if there are events in here that we are quite dear to us, and we want to see it. And if we're failing, probably, you know.
I just asked Andy to clarify, because I'm conscious that we'd be hypothetically asking questions where, you know, we're guessing about what failed, what didn't fail, and we don't have the information. Andy, is it right at the next meeting that we will have this information?
Chair, yeah, the case is that this is the type of report that goes to all of the committees at this stage, because that's the financial assistance programme that we've set out. So it doesn't list the details in terms of applicants or you know, specific grants awarded, because those applicants themselves don't know at this stage yet, as part of the process. So this will go out to full council, and then at that stage then the details will be made available through letters to offers to applicants and to all the members in terms of
The people who take the decision probably never know until the letter of offer goes out.
And I suppose that's the process.
It has a lot of negatives, especially this year.
Becky?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'm good governance, and I think it's always been the case. I think through the BCRC, I sat through these on an application, not these particular ones, but other ones, and we were never aware of who the application was from. And I'd obviously, yeah, a local council, you may have picked up on one or two of them based on the information provided, but I think that's always been the case, and it's not a new one. I think for ourselves, we're counselors, it's better that we don't know. So we can't be accused of trying to support our own picker of the application from our own area. But what I would be more concerned about is the lack of STEM, the understand in this area. And we know when we debated this, and we put in our meetings on, I think from our own selves, we are concerned with the amount that actually Putnam was, because we don't simply think we needed it based on previous years. But I would be suggesting or proposing that we actually it up towards going out for a second call, and as soon as that is possible, we can do that.
Brian, I think Brian, of course, in the back.
Yes, well, there's two things there. We help the groups that there is an appeal process for this to happen. The appeal process is only on the process of awarding funds. It's not on what the bond will be spent on organising in any detail, which a normal appeal within our public would consist of. It's not, you know, it's just an appeal of the default rate and the reason number two, you see it both, which I think is a wee bit disingenuous or salary. But also, when one has been awarded, and as Professor O'Hanna said, you don't see things when you're invigilating on the application. But after that decision is made, and before there's been out call, councillors should be able to know. But you said when you were looking at
application, but I never said I wanted to know.
Sorry? I said that I would like to know in that gap.
Okay, thanks, Brian. I suppose in the point that Nicky, sorry, Willie. Sorry.
No, maybe you were looking for
it. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to second the proposal from Nicky. We were always in the opinion that it's difficult, you know, for groups to meet the criteria, and there's certainly a need for capacity building, and I think that's what it illustrates. I've been more keen to see, you know, that we meet with the groups again and explain where they went wrong and get training for filling in future applications. I think that's essential moving forward. In regards to the format, I think it is good governance as well. I think it would get extremely messy if council started interfering in the process, because every application has to be on its own merit. And if we were putting a certain weight to one group over another, I think both would challenge if we were doing that. And I think we're better out of that. We employ officers to do that work, and that's what should take place. It's no different to the volunteer contributions that comes in community sports capital grants. They were all the same. They're all the exact same. And fair enough, maybe a better idea, you know, what applications are in the system. But I think it'd be extremely messy if the council started trying to interfere.
Okay, just on the proposal from the floor from Mickey and second from Willie. I suppose, looking at the figures there, I don't want to go into any detail on it. I'd like to, you know, have a discussion around them at the next ERD meeting when we've got more information. But this paper was debated before Christmas, time and time again. And we can see the demands there, because of the 14 groups that are playing, we've only got the figures of the 8 were successful and 6 weren't successful. It's still the fund of 220,000, which if you take the 6 groups out, averaging around the same as the rest, and that's up to what we had put aside. What would concern me, and I'd like to go through the detail, but I know it's too early now, is that of the successful applications, only 70% of that funding has been recommended to payers. So I suppose going forward, from the post that's on the floor, it's going to have to be worked up, and it's the office to bring back recommendations, simply because there's an appeal process there as well. So we've got just under 80,000 there that has been agreed to be allocated to these groups who have applied for 118,000, I think it was. So you've got the appeal process as well as the ones that didn't go through on stage two, and after that we would see broken up for second call, which I'd be in favour of. I suppose we have to go through the process with the appeals and the other groups when we get to that position, so we'll be able to come back from the office and all
that
to question.
That was a recommendation that we through the process, but we'll go back out to as soon as possible.
Okay. No, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and I do hear what other councillors are saying. On the subject, my concern is that we start awarding grants or funds on the basis of the ability to be able to fill out a form, and not necessarily on what the festival might consist of and the benefits that it brings to the community. There was a lot of dissatisfaction, I would say, given the criteria. I thought we were going to have a meeting about it along the way, just to round it out. But not only, like someone said, we have 14 events there that, that applied for it, six of which were unsuccessful. But how many were maybe advised, no, you shouldn't apply for this, you're not going to meet the criteria. So I do have some concerns, and that comes down, once again, to judging awards by how well the forum is filled out, as opposed to the contribution that the festival might make to our district. And sometimes there is a big difference. And I appreciate that what we're going through, and we're hosting the information sessions, and we're training people and so on, but still, when it comes down to a couple of marks here or there, then we should certainly, I have no idea what any of these are, but we should be taking a look at the habit of building the field altogether. And maybe failed for 10,000, but does that mean there shouldn't be 2,000? And so on. So there is a lot of questions to be asked about.
And as I say, there'll be a lot more discussion at the next meeting on this when we've got the information. And just to be fair, for clarity, that this it's like a voluntary contribution to the book up to the book, which is not by the staff here in your team. So we got a proposal and second for another debate. The start, I can't remember. Did we get a proposal and second for
Yeah.
We did. Okay. Moving on to item 14, scheme of delegation. Proposed and seconded? Proposed. All right. Seconded. Thank you. And the last is the action factor update sheet. Proposed and seconded. Proposed, Nicky. Sorry, Terry.
Hi, Chair. If you just let me in on one quick point there. Look, I can't agree with Jonathan that the flower displays in our villages and that belongs to another department. It certainly is a big part of tourism and has to be in line with tourism, working along with other committees and that. But when I see the publicity and that some of the villages have won awards and that has gotten the television and that over the years, like, it's a big selling point for the area. But we would pay big money to have towns and villages marketed like this. So it has to be aligned with tourism. It can't be separated from tourism because they go hand in hand. And I think it's a cop-out to say, well, we pass it on to perhaps committee or whatever that's going to deal with that. And there's no money included in it for the rest. So that's it. It's out of their hands here. Well, we cannot separate from tourism. It's a shortcut to say it is.
I don't think just on that point, Terry, before John comes in, I don't think it's separate from tourism, and we're not talking about tourism budget, therefore, this is simply an underspend budget from DFC, who are not responsible for the areas. So it's only the
auditor. Responsibility for tourism.
Yeah, I'll let John.
Well, Chairman, at the end of the day, my understanding was the issue around planting the flower beds across the district and grants to the community group. This department doesn't control the budget. What I said was we have a discussion with all the other departments and refer them back. We will input from a tourist perspective, but this committee doesn't have control of that budget for me to be able to make a recommendation or say we do more of in an area. So that's why we need to talk to the responsible department and have a matter addressed and brought back to the council. And there will be input from this department into that discussion.
Yeah, but Chair, I'd like to just that this committee would have an input into that because I feel it's a cop out if this tourism committee hasn't some input into that.
And John would agree that the committee will input into it. Thanks, sorry. Can I get a second for the action update sheet? Second. Thanks very much. That's the end of the meeting. Stay at home.
Thank you.
No, it's more for